If you'd pray for my sister, she's in hospice, end of life. And Thursday, my wife and I were up there, and the last thing she said to me was, "Please tell the church, thank you for praying for me. I have felt their prayers." Amen. Now, some might say, "Well, yeah, but you're not healed." No. There's something very powerful about prayer. Yeah. Glory to God. So I thank you. I thank you for that. Would you stand with me, please? I'd like you to turn to Psalms 135. I've been preaching on an average of 100 messages for the last 34 years. And sometimes you get to the place where, okay, is there anything new, you know? But I want to tell you something that you don't know at all. I don't care how long you've been pastoring or preaching or reading your Bible. And preaching is all about telling you something that you didn't know about God. That's basically what it is. I want to tell you something about God that you didn't know. And that helps us get closer to Him. So in Psalms 135 and verse number 7, it says, "He causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain. He bringeth the wind out of his treasuries." And then if you'll go to Ezekiel, chapter 37. And verse number 9. "Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live." Glory to God. Lord, we ask your blessing and your touch upon your word tonight, God, that you'd somehow touch each and every one of us, not only with thoughts, but feelings. And we'll give you the praise. It's in Jesus' name. You may be seated. If you'll also turn to Mark chapter 4. Starting in verse 35. "And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Amen. You think you have some storms in your life? He can control them. You shouldn't be afraid of what comes against you. Proverbs 30 and 4 says, "Who hath gathered the wind in his fist?" Indicating that God controls the wind. A hurricane just hit the west coast of Mexico, decimated a lot of cities, Acapulco area. It was just really, really bad. It's early. Florida has had the worst flooding and wounds this week. Miami has had so much rain that it's up to the waist of people on the streets. They just can't understand how this hurricane season has started so early. It's the beginning of the tropical storms. Meteorologists have been trying to figure out what is causing such strong hurricanes, and of course they blame it on global warming and ozone layers, and it's actually your fault because you're driving a car and so forth. But according to the scripture, it's God that allows the wind to do what it does, you know? I read something not too long ago that in 1911 they were saying that there was global warming and that the ice in the Arctic are going to melt and the cities on the coast are all going to be underwater soon, you know? There's a lot of things that scare people, but you know what? There's a God that's in control. What manner of man is this that the wind obeys him? You know, we just read the answer. Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? We know that God is responsible for the weather. We may not like it, but God is responsible for the weather. And what I'm trying to demonstrate tonight is that there's a purpose in the wind. There is. I believe God sees situations on earth to typify what we will do in the church. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. There's going to be a move of God. There's going to be a wind of God. The wind is blowing again, folks. 2 Timothy 3:1 says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. You're wondering, what is going on with all of the crime? What is going on with drugs? What's going on with... And then it gives us a list. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Problem. Despisers of those that are good. People are going to hate us because of the stand that we take. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Take me to a stadium, but don't take me to a church. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power of God, from such turn away. All preludes to what is happening just before the rapture. And it reads like a newspaper. I believe God is setting a stage for revival. And all major moves of God are associated with wind. Every revival that has ever hit this planet has always been sent from God. We can't make it happen. We can be the people that God wants us to be, and it can happen, but we can't make it happen. And it has always turned people back to godliness. That's what's happened with the wind. That's what's happened with revival. Every scriptural reference to revival always points to a people wanting to conform to God's word. It's not about praying more. It's not about worshiping more. Worship is enjoyable. It really is. But where the rubber hits the road is, are you willing to conform to the image of God? Are you willing to conform to what the Word of God says? If you're not, revival won't be in the church. It won't be in your life. Oh, the charismatic movement gathers a lot of people, but it was a feel-good about conforming to what the preacher says. Azusa Revival made disciples, and Jonathan Edwards preached his famous sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. It moved people. It caused people to tremble. It caused people to fall out. It caused people to be filled with the Holy Ghost just walking by the church. I was at that church years ago, and it was a simple church, but there was a powerful message. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We heard that this morning. Their fear brought revival. When we get to the place where we're a little fearful of what's going to happen, it does cause people to want a revival. whether it's a pandemic or whether it's a financial crisis, it causes people to say, God, what's going on? I don't have any control over the wind. Can you help us, you see? Glory to God. Today, churches feel that they can bring revival by believe it and receive it. No change required. Just come. God loves you just the way you are. That's not true. Name it and claim it. Blab it and grab it. You know? Pour some oil on your driveway and you'll get a Cadillac. You know? These are things that, well, they preach well. It really scares me. We cannot control the wind of revival any more than we can control the weather. John 3 and 8, we heard it this morning. It says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, or where it pleases. So it is with everyone that is born of the Spirit. We find that it pleases God to fill somebody with the Holy Ghost. It pleases God to move into a church service and have people under the presence of God. It pleases God. What manner of man is this? That he controls the wind. He controls the spirit that moves in our church. We cannot do that. It's God. So wind is always associated with salvation. No wind, no new births. The wind was there at the very beginning in Acts, the second chapter. We read it twice this morning. Let's read it again. Acts chapter 2, verse number 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now, the key to this moving of God's wind is that everybody's on the same page. If there's divisions within the church, no wind. And suddenly, what happened? There came a sound from heaven as of a, what? Rushing, mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire. That word fire means lightning, like a gift from above. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Hallelujah. That word mighty means a violent wind. This was bigger than Katrina, bigger than any kind of hurricane that anyone has ever experienced, because it rocked the whole world. It shook everything, you see. The wind was so powerful that immediately there were 120 lives that were completely changed without a 12-step program. Instantly. I've seen it happen. You've seen it happen. People walk in here for the first time. The wind blows over them, and all of a sudden, habits are gone. All of a sudden, their ideas have changed. Their appetite has changed. More powerful than a locomotive, faster than a speeding bullet, able to